upset. It's something that you have to understand. You'll never understand, and you have to understand. Which means that we have to understand that we'll never understand it. It's important for a person to understand that. And we said over from the Kutzker, they said, a God whose ways are unknown to me is not wanted by me. In other words, any God I can understand, God is that he's like, we won't understand it. We can't understand. And you got to understand that you can't understand. So therefore he says to understand that Hashem can know, and for us to have Bechira is like not something we'll ever wrap our head around. The Rebbe didn't like that. It seemed to not like that. He said, don't say, ask questions if you don't have understandable answers. And the Rebbe seemed to give a different answer. Does anyone remember the Rebbe's answer? The question we had of Bechira and Yediyah.
He knows us so well.
He knows us so well. He knows what we're going to do, even though we have the choice what to do or what not to do. There's another answer which I heard. I actually heard this answer from, I believe I heard it from Rabbi Lawrence Kellerman. Any of you familiar with the name of Lawrence Kellerman? Rabbi Leib Kellerman, no?
Right, yeah.
No? Yeah? What is he famous for?
I don't know.
Permission to Believe, Permission to Receive, a book books by Rabbi Lawrence Kellerman. And he invoked a very famous mashal. The mashal is, there was once upon a time in Hollywood, they had this fictitious idea of going back to the future, which is a person who's going back in time and the future in time and all these different types of things. It was a fictitious idea that was made up in Hollywood. But the point is like this. Let's say a person would go back in time and when he would do that, he would see someone doing something and he knows what he's going to do. Did that person have Bechira? Now, I came from the future, so I already know what he chose. So did he have choice to do that?
Yeah.
Yes. It's a different answer than the Ravid a little bit. The Ravid is saying, I know exactly what you're going to choose because I made you, so I know you. We spoke about there's no such thing as a random computer. There's no such thing as a computer that will make up a random number. It's a misnomer. It's impossible. Some people think that there is. There isn't. It's always working with some sort of algorithm. It's such a complicated algorithm that it looks to us as random, but the person that made the computer knows it's not random, and if he goes through the steps, he'll always be able to tell you what the next number is. So to Hashem, he created us as the Ravid. He'll know what we're going to do. There's another pshat, which is Hashem doesn't live in time. Hashem is out of time. Haya hayveviyas by Hashem Hashem created time. So if he lives out of time, so what happened yesterday and what happened today is the same thing. It's the same time for him. So Hashem is out of time and he's looking at people and he made the decision. He knows that because he's removed from time. Right, time is like is all the same thing for him. So we had the choice. Just because he saw us do it afterwards, does that mean we didn't have the choice? Of course we did. So now we went back in time. Yeah, it's a little deep, but that's okay. We're allowed to be deep. Yeah.
I don't know if I asked this last week, but if Hashem knows what decisions that we're going to make, so gives us the certain circumstances that we're going to be in. Mm-hmm. So how can we be held accountable for anything that we do?
Right. So this gets us back to the trying to understand. I think we left off with this question. It could be we left off with this question yesterday about mistakes. I don't know if we spoke about it in public or only in private, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what our decisions are, and he programmed us that way, so he knows when we're going to be successful. So what was the question you asked again?
How could we be held accountable, or I guess rewarded?
How could we be rewarded? So we spoke about being rewarded doesn't really bother us that much. Why not? Because because Hashem gave us reward. Hashem wants to be good to us, and he wants us to feel like we deserve it. So he made us feel like we deserve the reward. That's not a problem. But how can we be held accountable for something we did wrong if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us that way? That's a very good question.
Can we leave off with the question last week?
That was the question we left off. That was the question. In other words, let's take a radical example. Hitler, Yimach Shemoy V'Zichroi. By the way, just want you to know, it's likely Hitler, Yimach Shemoy, was extremely traumatized. A lot. Okay? This is the theory that some people put out, and there's good reason for this theory. Hitler's mother was a single mom. She was a helper. She was a maid in the house of a Jewish family. And she became pregnant. And then she got fired. Now, she was not married. So the theory is that she became pregnant from the husband of this family. He was inappropriate with her. In other words, Hitler's father was Jewish. and he hated his father because his father basically threw his mother out of the house. She wasn't married to him, right? And didn't want anything to do with her and just dumped her in the trash. And that's why he hated Jews so much. So it's like, it's almost crazy ironic. Hitler killed people who, you know, whose mother was Jewish and father wasn't Jewish. That was him. He basically would have killed himself if he would have. It was crazy, but there's good reason to believe that Hitler's father was Jewish. Believe it or not, because his mother was a single mom. That's fact.
He did kill himself.
Hitler killed himself. That's true. He was a very, very disturbed little puppy. He was a very, very unhealthy person. Super unhealthy. I don't know if you know that Hitler had like very unhealthy. He had a healthy relationship with his niece. His niece was. Killed herself in his house, famously, because he wouldn't let her go out of the house. He was not clear. He was a really unhealthy puppy, Hitler. And he had a woman that he was very close with, Eva something or other, Braun, Eva Braun.
Jewish?
No, she was not Jewish. She was not Jewish. She was not Jewish. He killed her also. But he had a very, very unhealthy relationship. In other words, he did not have a normal relationship. He did not have notion. I don't mean to. He was very, very unhealthy. Let's just leave it at that. He did not have normal like husband wife relationship. He was a super sick puppy, Hitler. Yimach Shemai. So, you know, he was almost like he was, like, groomed for you know, to be a devil.
What happened?
He had a very, very rough upbringing, let's just say it that way. So, it's almost like he was hardwired that way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew what he was going to do, so why is he being punished?
It's abortions.
What?
Abortion.
Abortion? Why is he being punished? What's he being punished for? So, you know, it might shed light on all the things of what punishment means. Let me ask you a question. I don't know, I'm not sure if this is the right answer, but let's try this. Does a tree go to Gan Eden?
Tree?
Tree.
Tree's alive.
Tree's in Gan Eden.
No.
Google.
Do cows go to Gan Eden?
No.
Why not? Why not? What? What'd you say? So, it could be that a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master. It's not could be. Avada Paro was part of Hashem's master plan. Nebuchadnezzar was part of Hashem's master plan. Antiochus was part of Hashem's master plan, and it was also part of Hashem's master's plan. It was part of the plan. So that I don't know if that's, you know, I'm not sure. You know, if we of course we remove all the emotion from Hashem and we say you know Gehenna wasn't because Hashem got angry or anything like that. Then you know, this is all part of the way Hashem's plan. I'm not sure. I don't know how to deal with the you know, I'm not sure exactly how to answer that question. How can Hashem blame us? He's the one who hardwired us. He knew we weren't gonna pass this test. He knew we weren't gonna do it. So why did he give us the test? He knew we weren't gonna pass it because we could, but he knew we wouldn't. So why is he doing it? What? If Hashem knows what you're going to do, can you trick Hashem? Can you trick Hashem?
You're not tricking, because you do have the ability.
But he knows you're not going to. That's all part of the question of how can Hashem know? That might have to do with the Rambam and the Ravid, but the way we're understanding what the Ravid is saying, the way we're understanding the Ravid at least, the Ravid is saying Hashem hardwired you. He knows what you can and cannot pass.
There's two scenarios.
He knows that.
Maybe two
paths, right? Hold on a second. He knows which path you're gonna take. So why did he put that path in front of you? He knows you're not gonna. He knows what you're gonna do.
It's not
a kasha and your bechira, but I'm asking, how can Hashem blame us if he basically set us up for failure? He knows we're gonna fail.
Two timelines. We're gonna fail, but Rabbi saying also made us that we have to fail.
Right.
Then you can overcome that challenge.
So why are we being punished? Maybe I have to understand punishment differently.
The Egyptians.
What?
The Rebbe is saying that not only does he know we're going to fail, but he made us that we have to fail.
Right.
That's
called Bechira.
What does Tzilah do?
How's that Bechira?
We have the choice. He hardwired us with the choice, and he knew that we were going to choose X or Y. He knows what we're going to choose.
If I had the right to choose, then why can't I get punished?
Because Hashem set you up for something he knew you were going to fail.
Right.
He knew you're gonna fail.
It's not bechira after you.
He didn't set me up to fail. He set me up. He knew also I was gonna fail.
Okay, so then why is he giving me something he knows he's gonna fail? How could you blame me for that if you know I'm gonna fail? So you know I'm gonna fail. So you gave me something that you know I'm gonna fail. So you're saying that the failing is really not. I'm not like really held responsible for failing.
It's either us to learn from, makes you bigger. It's us to learn from while we're down there. Also, while we're down here, for us to learn from it. Why even put it down there if you program this while even on this world?
Okay, so that we can understand a little bit better. Because we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us good. And he wants us to feel like we deserve our good. Which is as much as we can do that. And that's part of why, like, that's the ultimate good. So I understand why, you know, I could get schar for something I quote-unquote don't deserve because I feel like I deserve it, that where I'm okay with. But to get punished for something I don't deserve, how could he punish me? Unless punishment has to be understood differently than the way we understood it. But, you know, that's the question.
He didn't make you do the wrong thing. You did it. It's not like
he did because he knew you were. He did because he hardwired you. Who made you this way? Who made me this way? Who made me this way? You did, Hashem.
But he gave you the ability to overcome something.
But he didn't because he knows I'm not going to. So that's...
How does I understand Bechira?
That's not real
Bechira. The Bechira is that I have the... He created me with the choice to do something and knew what I was going to choose. So it. That's still a choice.
Still
Bechira. Still
Bechira.
I did have a choice.
You hardwired that way.
And Hanami. That's your choice. The choice. Hashem hardwired you that you're going to choose this. That's a choice. Sure it is. Of course it's a choice.
He knows you're going to choose.
It's 100% a choice. Let me ask you a question, okay? Let's say I have a child. I know my child. Okay, and has in front of him, he can either go play football or he can go study trigonometry. I know my child. I know what he's going to choose. I know what he's going to choose. It depends. If it's shragi, then it's...
Just because you know the app,
1% of the time, everybody's not going to eat the Doritos for whatever reason.
What?
Even if it's special, 1% of the time, it's going to go the other way, no?
What do you mean?
You're not forced, but you're not forced.
You're just, that's the way you've been hardwired, but you're not forced. You're making that decision. I just know what your decision is because I hardwired, but you're making that decision.
Knowing what your decision is and making that decision.
True.
Yes, he knows what you're
going to do. But not only does he know, he hardwired you that way. That's the reason he knows. Because he hardwired you.
He hardwired me to make that decision. He hardwired me. He didn't make me make that decision. He gave me two options to make, and I made one decision.
Does he know which one you're going to make?
Yeah, but I could always change that.
No, you can't change that. Then he doesn't know.
Of course he knows.
Then he doesn't know. If you can change, he doesn't know. So the man does know. So if he knows...
He knows he doesn't have two paths for you.
What?
There's no time
out of
Hashem, so he knows.
Okay, so... Well, the Ravid doesn't use that nakuda. To me, that's a third approach here. The approach that the Ravid is saying is, the way I understand it is, he hardwired you. He created you. He knows what you can handle. He knows... What you're going to decide to do. He knows what you're going to decide not to do. You can decide it, but he knows what you're going to decide.
He knows what you're
going to
choose.
He knows what you're going to choose.
He knows what I did choose.
So he put in front of me something that he knew I was going to choose to fail. So how is he punishing me for that?
Because you still have the ability to choose otherwise. He knew you were going to choose it. He's trying, but you still have the ability. You have the ability. He just knew you were going to make the wrong choice. Okay. But he also, but it's worth it for him because he knows he's going to make right choices also.
So, my question is, how could he punish us?
First, what? Same thing, right? That's his muscle.
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing random.
Right.
He has to fail.
Right. But that is because his Bechira, he has to fail because we know what he's going to choose. But it's his choice. It is his choice. But I have programmed to choose this. But that's still his choice. It is his choice.
Hashem wrote the program. He has to fail.
He wrote the program because that's what we're going
to
do.
That's what we're going to do. But I still chose to do it.
He did already.
You're saying Hashem hardwired me to do a certain avera means that I was always going to do that avera.
That's what it seems like.
From before I was born, everyone knew I was going to do that avera.
Not everyone, just Hashem.
Saying Hashem, right?
Yeah. Doesn't Reb Tzadik say that once you do that avera, if you didn't have bechira for us?
So that would seem to go along with what
you said. It's like watching a football game knowing what the score
is
going to be.
Is it possible that he'll be able to make it so that he actually doesn't know? No, that he doesn't know what we're going to do.
Why is that so crazy? He is limited.
He could pretend like he doesn't know what we're doing, but it seems like Hashem knows everything.
He knows at the moment while we do it, but why does he necessarily know what we will do?
Because it says Hashem knows everything. Everything that was and will be. So apparently Hashem did.
Everything was and will be. That means what we are going to do already happened.
Right.
We're already on a time, man.
Right.
The opposite way is also not clear.
What's the opposite?
Meaning if he doesn't put me here where he knows it. If he always puts me in a situation where he knows it's going to pass, it's not clear.
Right, true. So it could be that if we redefine what punishment is, then maybe in a chanami, then, but on the surface, this is what it seems like the Ravid is saying. So let's just get it clear. We could try to speak to the Mashgiach about it more. I just want to sum this up, and then Menachem, and we're going to try to move further. You're going to say something short, and then we're going to move forward, okay, because we want to do a little more. We asked the question of Bechira and Yediya. The Rambam seems to say Hashem's Yediya is beyond our understanding, and that's something you have to understand. The Ravid says that Hashem is the one who created us, so he knows what we're going to choose. It's still our choice, but he knows what we're going to choose. We have a little bit of a hard time with that, because then he knows he created us to know that we're going to choose failure, so why did he put us in a situation that we're going to fail if he knows we're going to fail that situation? That was our issue with that, which maybe, anyway, we said that we're going to pass, we understand why he's giving us schar, but how did he put us in a situation we're going to fail? Is it our fault? Maybe it was min hashamayim that we should fail. That's something that we have to like kind of work out. We said another answer, which is that maybe just because Hashem is above time, so even though we have the choice, but Hashem, it's not a question of Hashem knows before we did it or after we did it, because Hashem doesn't live in time. Maybe that's part of what the Rama means. It says his idea is different than our idea. It's like our idea is outside of time, so maybe that's part of what the Rama meant. Don't know. Menachem, what do you have to say, and then we're going to move further. Is that the Reb Tzadik? Are you all quoting the same source? You heard this? Would you hear this? From who?
By from Portnoy's.
What?
He gives a shmooze and by comes up. What's his name? I don't remember his name.
Where is it? In Portnoy's?
No, in Cumbers.
Where's in Cumbers? Where is it?
It's like a little chill that he gives a
shmooze. Where is it?
In Macha.
Okay, that's part of what we're talking about over here. If there's such an idea, it's a very, very tricky thing for a person to say, without like really explaining it. But that is something that that would kind of like be supported by what we're saying, right? That we were hardwired that way almost, right? Yeah.
I just have a statement. Kind of seems like we don't have free choice. We just feel like we have free choice.
Right.
So we don't have free choice.
We have free... Hashem created us in a way that we have the choice to choose based on our koichas, and Hashem knows what we're going to choose. So if you want to call that, you can call that what you want. But as far as we're concerned, we have free choice.
Right? What's the point of davening? Let's say Corona should go away. It's inevitably going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Why not?
Because Hashem made it in a way that we're going to have to do something about it. Now, Hashem made you in a way that you might decide that you don't want to do it, so then you're going to end up not doing it. But
you knew I was going to do it, so then you...
Right.
So then it's going to happen anyway, even if it's
not. No, it's not going to happen anyway. Then you're... You're not going to do it, so you're going to get punished for it. But I am going to do it, so I'm going to get rewarded for it. So you're going to say, but it's going to happen anyway. That's all part of our bechira that we're... What? It's all the same thing. That Hashem created everything in a way that he knew that that's what he was going to do, and that's what he's going to... It's all part of... Right? And I'm saying, you know what? If you created me this way, so then it's your fault. Hashem knew that I was going to do that too, and Hashem knew it. Hashem knew we're going to sit here and we're going to decide if we're going to. This is all part of what Hashem understood. How we're all going to process what we're hearing right now and what we're going to do with it. It's all part of what Hashem knew. Hashem created us, so he knows what we're going to do.
So do we have free choice?
We have free choice, in our perception of free choice, yeah.
Rashi says about the Mitzrayim that the reason they got punished wasn't because what they did, Hashem made them do it, but it's about that they went above and beyond.
I don't understand that. I don't understand.
Did Hashem know he was going to make a marvel?
What?
Hashem
knew he was going to
make a marvel?
Of course
he
was
going
to make a
marvel.
Then
why did he create the world
in
the first place? He's going to
destroy it. Okay. Why did Hashem create the world at all?
Because I'm just saying there are reasons why.
Okay, that's all part of the you ask a question, why did Hashem create one if they're going to do anything wrong?
So it's work hard.
Okay, my friends, let's keep going over here. I can't say that we have the epitome of clarity on this Nakuda. Let's go. We're up to Perek Aleph Vav. Here goes. Mima shetzarach sheyeda oid. Something else you have to know. Sheamotzi hazeh yisparach shemoy muchrach sheye echad v'lo yoyser. This one entity has to be one. Can't be more than one. Pirish. Shei efshar sheyimtzeu mitzuyim rabim. It's impossible to have numerous, multiple gods. Right? That is a concept that exists in many cultures, Greek culture and those types, that there's the god of war and the god of love and the god of... Yeah, or whatever, you know, all these... It's impossible. Or all of them are just, you know, like underlings to one great god. It's only one. If you find other things out there, he has to be on top of them. There's nothing that is on its own causing others or influencing. There has to be one influencer on top, and he's causing everything else. If you have people, some people worship the sun, like in Mitzrayim, they worship the Nile, and they worship sheep, and they worship Pyro, and they worshiped. So there's got to be that there's one thing that's on top of all of them, because it can't be two things that caused things to happen. Because if there's a source. Has to be a singular source, that everything is coming from that source. And that source is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of monotheism. Avraham Avinu is the one who introduced us to monotheism. Monotheism is the belief in one God, which is pretty much now in the world today is a global belief. It's the belief of Christianity. It's the belief of pretty much... It's the belief of Muslim, and it's the belief of Judaism, which is the three major religions in the world. And everyone believes today in monotheism, the myth of Avodah Zarah. Chazal actually kind of like did away with it. At the same time, it was really Greek culture. At the same time, they had to annul Nevuah, kind of like to even the playing field. If we had Nevuah and no Avodah Zarah, everyone would be from. So we lost Nevuah, and you know, he took out Avodah Zarah, and now we're left with not much money. The Chazanish says has become the new Avodah Zarah. But this is the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Yachid. So it's interesting that we find over here the Ramchal writes later on the following thing. Ramchal writes, it's in Chelek Dalad, but he writes the following thing. I'm just reading it from Reb David, brings it in the back. He says, Hine hu haya hoive v'yihye, Hashem was, is, and will always be tamid, echad yachid umiyuchad. Echad yachid umiyuchad. Echad means one. Yachid?
Singular.
What?
Singular.
Umiyuchad.
Oneness.
That's a lot of one right there. It's Echad, Yachid, Umiyuchad. Echad, one. Yachid, he's alone, like Umiyuchad, and he's unique. Echad, Yachid, Umiyuchad. So what are these three things? Echad, Yachid, Umiyuchad. So Rav David suggests, perhaps, that these three things are three different aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echad b'mitzias, yachad b'shlita, miyuchad b'hanhaga. Echad b'mitzias, yachad b'shlita, miyuchad b'hanhaga. And the three sets of makas, datzach, adash, be'achav. Datzach is dam, tzadei akinim. Adash is arav dever shchin. Be'achav. Be'chayres. Be'achav. Be'chayres. It's broken up into three different things. Datzach, adash, be'achav. And perhaps these three, he brings from the Kleyokar, from the Malbim. If you look, it's very interesting. Three times, Hashem explains why he's bringing the Makas. Lemanteida kini Hashem. Lemanteida ki lo Hashem ha'aretz. Bavorteida ki ein kamayni b'chol ha'aretz. Datach, adash, me'achav. When he starts with datach, before dam, he says, Lemanteida kini Hashem bekerav ha'aretz. When he starts Be'achav, he says, "Manteida ki Lashem haaretz." And the third one is "Bavorteida ki en kamani b'chol haaretz." These three things are echad, yachid, umyuchad. We could try to explain it a little bit if we can. We don't have that much time because we've been hacking before, and I don't want to keep you too long. But Hashem, first of all, echad means Hashem is the most powerful, and then we have to know that Hashem has control over the worlds. Is that there's God, Hashem, that He's control over the world, and also that He's like leading the world towards a specific tachlis, towards a purpose. Kadosh Baruch Hu like has a goal for this world. Hashem is God, that He is controlling this world, and that He has a direction for the world. He's leading it in a certain direction. Those are the three different things when we speak about Hashem is Yachid. Hashem is Echad, Yachid, Umiyuchad. That's what we're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here, which we said that there's Hashem is the only power in the world. He is Shem Tiem Muchach Me'atzmoy Ela Echad. Echad bilvad. That is Hashem. He's Echad, Yachid, Umiyuchad. Echad bilvad. When we say Hashem Elkein or Hashem Echad, that's what we're referring to when we speak about the Makas. Bez Hashem Belined, next week, maybe we'll try to go through the different Makas to why Datzach brings out one idea. Adash brings out another one. Ba'achav brings out these three ideas, which are the three Midas of Hashem. Echad, Yachid, Umiyuchad, which means Echad b'metzias, yachad b'shlita, with his control, and then yuchad b'hanhoga. We'll see how we do all those, Biz Hashem, hopefully next week. That's all for now.